Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron's Amazing Stories, where we play tales to take you away from today. What is creepy to you? On today's show, we explore a whole new grade of creepy with a story called Death Wears a Lonely Smile. We continue the freaky with a haunted ambulance and then a ghost boy with no eyes. On a lighter note, if you can call it that, we have another segment of Johnny, Is It True? World War II edition. Finally, we finish today's fair with a trip back in time to August 25th, 1944. How do we begin our travels? With this 5-Minute Mystery. This 5-Minute Mystery is being brought to you by Women's Fashion. Women have always had to dress better, look better, and smell better than men. This is a fact and cannot be refuted in a court of law. But why is this? Let's listen to today's story for a clue.
Martin Protective Service, Jim Martin speaking.
Go on, I'm listening.
I heard you say something, but I can't make out what it was. I managed to push the receiver off with my chin, but I can't hold it to my ear.
Go ahead, I understand.
You know the address. 45 Fulton Place. Bring the police. I'll try to get free.
We'll be there right away. Goodbye.
Oh, thank heavens you're here, Mr. Martin.
And this is Lieutenant Garfield of the police.
How do you do, Miss Cass? Jim, do you want to go look at the body?
Let's get the story first. I couldn't get much on the phone.
Tell us what happened, Miss Cass.
I will in a minute. I'm a little shaken. I just managed to get the rope off.
Now, please, Miss Cass, time is very important.
Mr. Garfield, I knew it would happen.
Why?
Well, he always carried a packet of diamonds in the inside pocket of his jacket.
Did they take it?
Yes.
When did it happen?
About 8. Mr. Gerard asked me to work late tonight. He was dictating a letter when... I can hardly bear to think of it.
Go on, Miss Cass.
2 men, they walked in and they grabbed us both and one of them bound me up. I couldn't move.
What did they use to kill Gerard?
The metal stool. They hit him over the head because he struggled so.
Yes, go on.
The blood rushed from his veins. It was horrible.
And the diamonds?
He must have been dead or nearly dead. They opened his jacket. It was his new double-breasted blue suit and he took the tag from his inner pocket.
And you phoned me right away?
Well, as soon as I could wriggle over to the desk and get the receiver off the hook.
Let's have a look at the body.
Oh, it was horrible. Just horrible.
Miss Cass, I thought you said they unbuttoned his jacket.
Well, they did. Then they buttoned it before they left.
Oh, I see. And it was a man and a woman?
No, 2 men. Their faces were covered, but I know they were men.
All right, Cass, come across. Where did you hide the diamonds?
What are you talking about?
Just this, Miss Cass. I arrest you for the murder of Joseph Gerard. Where did Adele Cass slip up in her murder and robbery? There are 2 clues. Do you know them? In a moment, Jim Martin and Lieutenant Garfield will tell us. But first...
Okay, so the guy had a double-breasted blue new suit. Wonderful. We're also told that the thieves redressed him after he died. How very thoughtful. Nice guys, these killers. My only question has to do with the phone call. Perhaps she used Siri to dial it. One has to wonder. Now back to Jim Martin and Detective Garfield.
Now, let's see if you're as observant as Jim Martin and Lieutenant Garfield.
You're crazy. Why, Mr. Martin himself heard me on the phone.
That was your first mistake, Miss Cass. If you were really bound hand and foot, you couldn't have dialed the Martin Protective Service. Your second error, Miss Cass, was insisting that 2 men committed the murder. Right, Martin?
That's absolutely right.
You see, Miss Cass, a man buttons a coat or jacket left side over right. A woman buttons it right over left. Joe Gerard's jacket was buttoned by a woman, right over left. And that woman, Miss Cass, was you.
Okay, I'm really sure they never told us how the jacket was buttoned. However, women's fashion does dictate that she button on the left side, so she must be guilty. But why? History tells us that women's clothing was often much more complicated and elaborate than men. Think about petticoats, corsets, and bustles. Most men dressed themselves, however, their female family members most likely had servants to help them. To make it easier for the servants, clothiers started sewing buttons on the opposite side. Eventually, as clothing became more and more mass-produced, women's clothes kept being made with the buttons on the left side. So, this 5-minute mystery was brought to you by Women's Fashion. I've made an upgrade to the hardware used on the show. I've added a travel mic. I did some research and came up with the Shure MV5 iOS-compatible microphone. It works with all Mac products like your iPhone, iPad, iPod, and computers. In a pinch, it is also compatible with Windows. I did this because I'm planning some road trip interviews and needed something better than the internal mic on my iPad. I do have a challenge for you today. I use the new mic for one of the segments on this podcast. Can you tell me which one? If you want to help with the cost of the new mic, you can make a donation on the main webpage. I received this email from Christian Peterson of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hello, Ron. I listen to the podcast every Sunday night on Milwaukee's own 90.3 FM. I used to listen on Stitcher Radio, but now I end my weekend with your show. Thank you for what you do, and I have a suggestion for you. Have you ever thought about creating original content for the show? By that I mean, write your own stories? This would end any copyright issues, and from what I hear, you're a pretty creative fella. Christian Peterson, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Well, thank you for that, Christian, and a shout-out to 90.3 FM. For the record, I too am a Wisconsin native and love the fact that I can be heard where I was born. As for your suggestion, I've thought about this and have written some stories to produce. I have not found the right moment yet to sit down and read one of them. A couple weeks ago, I did read a short story by Jack Douglas called The Test Rocket. The reviews were mixed on that, and what I learned is that I have a bit to go before I can claim the name narrator. It's a rough job and requires a particular set of skills. I have not given up and look forward to more of these tests and my stories soon. Thank you, Christian, for your comments. I'm still waiting for our very own promo code for Gladys Goodies, but until then, please do visit them and tell them that Ron's Amazing Stories sent you. This past week, I heard back from my sister. She is the 4-H leader here in the area and works with kids and their dogs. The treats they use are very important for training, and from what she tells me, the dogs are loving Gladys Goodies.
Gladdy, the dachshund, the face of Gladdy's Goodies. Are you worried about your pet's health? My parents were too, especially since I developed pancreatitis. They couldn't find any treats I could eat, so they made some. Our natural treats are healthy for all dogs, with and without health issues. We have lots of delicious flavors like chicken, turkey, salmon, sweet potato, beef, and more. With our homemade treats, you won't worry about the contents because they have no chemicals, fillers, or bad ingredients. Go to GladysGoodies.com now to get your fur friend a bag and pick them up some swag while you're there. You'll be glad you did. Remember, we have the treats and swag to make their tails wag. Again, that's GladysGoodies.com. Again, that's GladysGoodies.com.
Thank you, Gladys. And now, are you ready for your stories?
These are your stories, sent by you, for you.
Our first story comes from Irvin Peterson. Irvin is a nurse from New York, and this is his second story sent in to us. If you remember from last time, he wrote about a camping trip gone wild in Maine. Here is Irvin's email. Hello, Ron. Still love the podcast. The ambulance company that I used to work for had a haunted rig. EEF number 12. A lot of the EMTs I worked with had stories about it, but I personally never put much stock in paranormal stuff. That is, until I had my experience with rig number 12. My partner and I were working a rural community at 3 a.m. It was pitch dark and completely quiet. We were both relaxing, waiting for the next call that was sure to come. I was in the driver's seat and she was in the passenger side. I woke up to a muffled voice and thought it was my partner talking. I told her I was trying to rest and closed my eyes again. I distinctly heard a male voice say, "Oh my God, am I dying?" This was followed by a few seconds of raspy, heavy breathing. My partner and I sat straight up and looked at each other and then into the back of the ambulance. Things were quiet for a couple of seconds, and then we heard the click of an oxygen bottle, and then a hiss, as if it were leaking. I turned on the lights, and we jumped out of the rig. I thought a transient might have climbed in while we were asleep, and pure oxygen can explode. We walked around to the back and opened the rear doors. No one was there. I checked the oxygen bottles, and neither had been opened. We didn't sleep much after that. Irvin Peterson, New York, New York. Well, thank you, Irvin, for another story. You certainly are in a business where strange things do happen. These days, Irvin works for a large hospital in New York and has done 2 tours of duty for the Army. I, for one, appreciate your service. This next story comes from Derek Guzman from Parts Unknown. Just a reminder that if you want folks to know where you are from, please let me know by adding it to your email or filling in the entire contact form. One night, when I was 10, I was woken up by my bedroom door opening, followed by someone sitting on my bed. I felt my leg grazed and the bed sink under the person's weight. Thinking it was my mom, I opened my eyes to see an eyeless boy, he had black empty sockets, about my age, sitting at the foot of the bed. He extended his hand, and in it was a little box. I started to reach out, but he pulled back. I reached out again and said, "Give it." Then I blinked, and when I reopened my eyes, he was gone, but the imprint of someone sitting on my bed was ever present. Fast forward 5 years. My girlfriend came over to do homework. After she finished, she took a nap while she waited for her parents. When they arrived, I tried waking her up. She opened her eyes suddenly and looked up at the corner where the wall met the ceiling. She pointed there and went back to sleep. I shook her again. She came to full consciousness and explained what she had done. She said, "Up on the wall, I saw a little boy with no eyes. He was there in a Spider-Man pose, staring at me." I freaked out and told her my story. Fast forward another 5 years. I was with the same girlfriend, now my wife, and we had a 2-year-old daughter. We were living with my parents at the time in my old room. My daughter started waking up at the same time every night, and she'd talk. After a while, I noticed that she said the same thing every night. I playfully asked her once who she was talking to. She said, "It's that little boy. He's so nice. He's lost and looking for his mommy." My daughter's nightly conversations continued until we got our own place later that year. Derek Guzman from Parts Unknown. Derek, that is a crazy story. My question would be if your parents had any confirmation of strange goings-on. I'd be curious to know. Thank you for your story, Derek.
Johnny, is this true?
Okay. I like to surf the internet looking for stories and other oddities. I do this in the name of the podcast, but the truth is, it's fun to see what's out there. What you're about to hear is what I call...
Johnny, is this true?
I will tell you a story and then ask the question. Did I make it up or is it true? Let's get started. This time on Johnny, Is It True? We have a strange and unbelievable fact from World War II. These facts were sent in by Wendell Herrera of Jackson, Arizona. Your job is to figure out if Wendell made it up or did it actually happen. Thank you, Wendell, and let's get started. Story 1. We like to think we know how things happen, or at least should happen. However, things have a strange way of starting out. For example, did you know that the first German serviceman killed in World War II was killed by the Japanese? Oh, and our strangeness doesn't end there. The first American soldier was killed by the Russians. Now, is this fakery or fact? Well, if you thought this fact was true, you're right. The first German killed in World War II was killed by the Japanese in China in 1937. The first American was killed by the Russians in Finland of 1940. By the way, the highest-ranking American killed during the war was Lieutenant General Leslie McNair. He was killed by the Air Force. So much for being allies. Story 2. Things were certainly rationed during World War II, but did they take away our new cars? Ford, Chevy, and other manufacturers did not take a break. In fact, they made a record 3.1 million new autos during the war. They did, however, make generous donations to war bonds and sent care packages to support the troops at the front. Now, does this make sense, or is it nonsense? If you said nonsense, you are more in tune with the times. During the war, all metal was precious and used to make ships, guns, and support equipment. In fact, in 1941, more than 3 million cars were manufactured in the U.S. However, only 139 more were made during the entire war. How about that? Story 3. Who was the youngest American to serve during World War II? This may come as a bit of a shock. The youngest serviceman in the U.S. military was Calvin Graham, age 12. Graham lied about his age when he enlisted into the U.S. Navy. His real age was discovered after he had been wounded. Now, this can't be true, can it? It is unbelievably true. Calvin Leon Graham, born April 3, 1930, was the youngest U.S. serviceman to serve and fight during World War II. Following the attack on Pearl Harbor, he enlisted in the United States Navy from Houston, Texas on August 15, 1942, at the tender age of 12. His case received significant media attention when he was discovered and subsequently discharged. In 1978, he was finally given an honorable discharge for his service in the Navy after writing to Congress and with the approval of then-President Jimmy Carter. All his medals, except for his Purple Heart, were reinstated. His story came to public attention in 1998 when it was told in the TV movie Too Young the Hero. He was played by Rick Schroeder. Amazing. Story 4. Loyalty. What does it mean to you? Well, to Hiro Onoda, an Imperial Japanese intelligence officer during World War II, it meant never surrender. He held his position in the Philippines for almost 30 years after the war had ended. Now, did this really happen, or is this more of Wendell's trickery? No tricks here. Hiro's story is a true one. Onoda continued his campaign as a Japanese holdout, initially living in the mountains with three other fellow soldiers, during which Onoda and his companions carried out guerrilla activities and engaged in several shootouts with police. He stayed in this state of war until his former commander traveled from Japan to personally issue orders relieving him from duty in 1974. Being properly relieved of duty, he surrendered, turned over his sword, still functioning Arisaka Type 99 rifle, 500 rounds of ammunition, and several hand grenades. He also still had the dagger his mother had given him in 1944 to kill himself if he were captured. Interesting note, one of his men, Private Tiro Nakamura, held out a bit longer and was arrested on December 18, 1974, in Indonesia. Do you have any strange but true stories you want to share? If you do, send them to ronsamazingstories@gmail.com and I'll use them if I can. Our featured story this week comes from the horror genre. This one is a creepy tale that takes you in and out of danger, all from the perspective of relative safety. You'll see what I mean when you hear the story. The tale comes to us from the spooky OTR series, The Inner Sanctum. I won't bore you with any more details except to say that it is titled Death Wears a Lonely Smile and first aired on CBS on April 4th, 1949.
Good evening, friends. This is your host to welcome you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum. Come in. I want you to see the changes we've made around here. Very, very smart. Now, this new morbid motif was designed by those southern decorators, Autopsy and Eva. This three-part section of sofa was made especially for the wife of Harry the Hatchet Man. You see, Harry left his wife in pieces, so naturally we let the chip and dales fall where they may. Now, here's our new dropped living room, just freshly dug. It's for rent, a real bargain. All you have to do is slab on a down payment.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum Mystery, Death Wears a Lonely Smile, was written by Ed Adamson and Bob Sloan and stars Mr. Sloan in the role of Walter with Mercedes McCambridge as Carol.
Well, now let's get to tonight's torturous tale. Find your places and make yourselves comfortable before we begin. As Harry the Hatchet Man says, we're not seating anyone before the first act's curtain falls. It's dusk, and a cold wind whips through the burial ground, stirring the leafless branches into wordless whispers of dead, forgotten voices. Amid the gravestones, the big man with a bloodied gash in his forehead stands, hatless, his massive, ape-like arms hanging limply at his side, his eyes set in a lost, vacant stare. The big man remains there, transfixed, as the young woman in black comes out of the shadows behind him.
Can I help you?
Where did you come from?
Oh, I was over there putting flowers on my father's grave, and I saw you. You're standing here, and you seemed lost, so I...
Lola.
What?
I've been waiting for you, Lola.
Oh, I'm not...
I knew you'd come if I waited, Lola. I knew you would.
But my name isn't Lola.
I waited so long. I waited every day.
I told you I'm not Lola. You've mistaken me. My name is Carol.
Carol?
That's right. Carol Finley.
But Lola said she'd come. She promised me. I need her.
Who is Lola?
Lola's my friend. She never made fun of me because I'm so big. Lola never laughed like all the others, like all those other ones who were so mean. What's your name?
I told you, it's Carol. What's yours?
Walter.
Walter, you'd better let me take you home.
Home?
Yes. Where do you live?
Why, I don't know.
There's something the matter with you. Yes, you're hurt, that cut on your forehead.
Cut?
Yes. Look, I'll take you to my place. My mother has a rooming house, and you can stay there until you feel better.
No, I can't go. I must wait for Lola. I promised I'd wait
Walter.
For her. Yeah?
Was her name Lola Douglas?
Yeah, Lola Douglas.
There's no use in your waiting.
Oh, you mustn't talk like that. She'll be here. She will.
She's already here. That gravestone there, look at it. Lola Douglas died March 6, 1948. There you are, Walter. Now, that bandage will do for a while.
You're nice to me, Carol. You're like Lola. You're not afraid of me, are you?
Of course not. Why should I be afraid?
Because I'm so big. I remember when I was in school, a boy made fun of me. I grabbed his arm and I told him to stop. He just laughed at me. I didn't mean to hurt him, but I broke his arm. I just squeezed a little and it broke. Then they were all afraid of me.
They shouldn't have laughed at you.
I like you. But I can't stay here.
Oh, it's perfectly all right. I spoke to my mother, and she said that you can have my room for a few days, and I'll move downstairs.
Oh, I have to find Lola. I promised
Walter,
her...
Walter, try to understand. Lola is dead.
Oh, no.
She was buried over a year ago.
Oh, that isn't true. I saw Lola last week. I spoke to her.
All right, Walter. All right. And tomorrow you can start looking for her again. But now you must get some rest. You just lie down here and I'll...
Carol, why are you looking at me like that?
This was on the table among the things you took out of your pocket.
What is it?
A newspaper clipping.
I didn't have a clipping in my pocket.
It's dated March 7, 1948. Woman found brutally crushed to death. Victim identified... as Lola Douglas.
Carol, I just stopped by for a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Carol Finley was here.
Carol gave me her... Lola.
Lola?
I knew you weren't dead.
Oh, my name isn't Lola.
I knew they were lying all the time, Lola.
Now, I'm Gladys Hart. I live down the hall.
They
must
were
be...
trying to keep me from you. Come in, Lola.
No. My hand.
Come with me, Lola.
Oh, please, let go. Oh, my hand, you're hurting me.
I wouldn't hurt you, Lola. You know I wouldn't.
Let go.
You mustn't talk so loud, Lola. They'll hear you. They'll think I'm hurting you.
Oh, please let me out of here.
Don't try to get away from me, Lola. I might hurt you. I don't want to hurt you, Lola, but you might make me.
Stop.
You see, I'm hurting you. You're making me, and I don't want to. What do you want?
Well, I was downstairs and I heard someone scream.
Who are you?
Carol's mother, Mrs. Finley. The scream came from this room, I'm sure of it.
Oh, no, Mrs. Finley, nobody.
There she is, on the floor in there.
Huh?
Get out of my way. Gladys, Gladys, what have you done to her?
Well, she wasn't here before. Lola was here, but now she's gone. Oh.
Gladys, are you all right?
Oh, Mrs. Finley.
Who is she?
Keep him away from me. Keep him away.
Now, you're all right, my dear. I'm here.
He tried to kill me.
No, I wouldn't hurt anybody.
Here's your pocketbook, Gladys. He probably wanted your money.
I don't want money.
There's money in it. How much did you have, Gladys?
Well, I just cashed a check. $68. It was your rent.
20, 40, 60, 5, 8. 68. Well, it's all here. Well, come on now, dear, and I'll take you to your room.
All right.
And you, I want you to clear out of here.
No, I can't go.
You're getting out, you understand? You're getting out.
I can't go. Lola's coming back. I promised her I'd wait, and I'm staying here until she comes.
Carol. Carol.
What is it, Mom? What's the matter?
I can't find Gladys. Her bed wasn't slept in. Did you see her?
No.
Well, I went to her room and she wasn't there. I had a feeling when you brought him home the other night. I had a feeling I should have turned him away. He's killed Gladys.
Oh, Mom, stop it. Stop talking like that.
Well, he tried it yesterday.
No, he didn't. Mom, he's just mixed up. You've got to try to understand him. Please take it easy. Gladys probably left for work early.
No, sir. She didn't leave this house alive. I was in her room. He's done something to her. He's hidden her body.
Mommy, I don't believe he'd do a thing like that.
Then what about Lola Douglas? She was murdered a year ago. You told me about that yourself.
All right, I did. But there's no proof that Walter killed her. Mom, I understand him. I'll go up and talk to him.
No, you won't. You're staying right here. I'll do the talking to him. I've got to get him out of this house before we're all murdered. You've got to get out of here.
Please, Mrs. Finley, don't make me go. Lola will come back.
Lola Douglas was murdered a year ago.
That's not true. Lola's alive. I saw her last week.
She was murdered by you.
No, I wouldn't hurt Lola.
Well, you killed her the same way you killed Gladys.
Oh, you shouldn't say things like that, Mrs. Finley.
You took Gladys out of here last night and murdered her.
No, Mrs. Finley, I didn't leave. I was waiting for Lola.
You're a monster, a horrible, crazy monster.
You're saying mean things to me, Mrs. Finley.
Well, I want you out of my house. I want you out right now.
You're not like Carol. Carol's nice. Carol said I could stay here in her room.
Yes, but not if you don't pay.
Pay?
Oh, I know you have no money. You can't stay here another moment unless you pay. And I want a month's rent in advance. Now, what do you say to that?
All right, Mrs. Finley.
And the quicker you get
here's
out of here...
Here's your money.
Well, where did
is
you...
Is this enough for a month in advance, Mrs. Finley? Is $68 enough?
$68, Carol. Here, look. He gave me $68.
I don't understand it, Mom. Yesterday, he didn't have a penny in his pocket.
But don't you see what this proves? It's just as I told you. He's murdered Gladys. That's exactly what she had in her pocketbook last night. $68.
Sergeant Pierce, 12th Precinct.
Sergeant, this is Mrs. Finley, 529 Elm Street. You'd better come over right away.
Finley, 529 Elm. What's the trouble, lady?
Well, one of my roomers, Gladys Hart, she's missing.
Missing? Well, we don't handle that, lady.
Oh, but listen...
I'll switch you over to missing person.
Wait, just a minute, please.
Yeah?
Well, this woman, she's not just missing. She's been murdered.
Now, look, lady, which is it? She missing or murdered?
So both. She hasn't been in her room all night. She had $68 in her pocketbook and... Ah!
Hello? Hello?
You!
Good afternoon,
hello.
Mrs. Finley.
Hey, what's going on there? Hello?
I... I'm sorry I troubled you, officer. I made a mistake. That is hard to lie. She just walked in.
Who's there?
It's Carol, Walter.
Oh, come in, Carol.
Did I disturb you?
I was listening to the music on the radio. It's nice music, isn't it, Carol?
Yes, Walter, very pleasant.
Lola likes music just like that, too.
Walter?
Yeah?
I came up to apologize for the way Mom acted to you.
Mrs. Finley said mean things to me.
Well, Mom didn't understand.
Mrs. Finley said I killed that girl. I didn't kill her.
Yes, we know that now. Gladys came in a little while ago. She stayed at a friend's house overnight. Walter, where did you get the money you gave Mom?
Well, it was in my pocket. I found the $68 in my pocket.
But it was more than $68.
More?
Yes, Mom was so excited when you gave it to her, she forgot to count it. But you gave her $85.
Oh, I only had $68.
You must have made a mistake. You had $85. You gave Mom $17 too much. So here, she told me to give you back the $17.
Oh, you keep it, Carol. You're nice to me.
No, Walter, it's yours. Please take it.
Carol.
Yes?
This money, Well, would you let me take you to dinner?
Well, you see, I do.
No, you wouldn't be ashamed to go with me because I'm so big. Because people would look at me and laugh.
Of course I wouldn't be ashamed.
Then you'll go?
Yes, Walter, I'd be very glad to go with you. I'll just run downstairs and get my things. You meet me out in front of the house in 10 minutes.
All right, Carol. I'll meet you. We'll have a nice time.
Yes, Walter, I'm sure we will.
Here is additional information on the murder this afternoon in Washington Park. An empty purse seems to be the clue to the brutal crime. The murdered woman had $85 in bills when she left the house last night. According to the police, the murder was undoubtedly committed by a large man with great power in his hands. Local and state authorities are conducting an extensive search.
Hey, stop playing the music. The music was so nice. And they stopped playing it.
Carol.
Yes, Mom, what's the matter?
Oh, I've been looking all over the house for you. You're all right?
Of course I'm all right.
Why are you putting on your coat?
I'm going out to dinner.
Out to dinner?
Yes, with Walter.
Him? Oh, thank heavens I got here in time.
Mom, what are you talking about?
He's a murderer.
Oh, you're not going to start that all over again, are
you?
Well,
it just came over the radio. A woman was killed last night in Washington Park.
But that doesn't prove that Walter is a murderer.
It does. The radio said the woman had $85 in her pocketbook.
She had what?
$85. Well, that's what he gave me this afternoon. $85. That's what he killed that woman for.
Oh, Mom, I can't believe it.
Oh, that's how he suddenly had the money to pay the rent. And the radio said the woman was crushed to death by a man who was big and powerful.
It's big and powerful?
It's him. Oh, and you would have been the next, Carol. Where is he now?
Well, I was supposed to meet him outside the house. I suppose he's out there waiting for me now.
Oh, that man's a lunatic, a crazy killing lunatic.
Mom, what are we going to do?
Well, you stay here in this room now and don't leave it.
What about you?
Well, I'm going downstairs to call the police. I'll be back in a few minutes. And remember, no matter what happens, don't leave this room.
May I help you?
Operator, the police. Quick, get me the police.
One moment, please.
Hello, Mrs.
Oh!
You're calling the police?
No,
you're
no,
I... You're gonna tell on me.
No, you're wrong. I wasn't going to...
Mom, what took you so long? I was...
Hello, Carol.
Hello, Walter.
I was waiting for you, Carol.
Well, I'm not ready yet.
You've got your hat and coat on.
Well, can't we wait just a little longer?
You're afraid. You're afraid to go to dinner with me.
No.
Otherwise, you'd go with me right now.
Well, I... All right, Walter, all right. I'll do just as you like. We'll go right now.
Carol, why did you change?
Me change? I don't know what you mean.
I don't think you like me anymore.
Oh, but I do like you, Walt.
You want to get away from me, I can tell. You don't want to be with me.
But I came out with you. I'm going to dinner with you.
But you don't want to. I can tell by the way you act. You keep pulling away from me.
Wait, wait.
What is it?
Do you really want me to like you, Walt?
Yeah, very much.
Then I tell you what. This florist shop here. You go in there. You buy me some flowers.
Some flowers?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Well, what kind?
Oh, any kind. And I'll wait here while you do it.
No, you come with me. You pick them up.
Oh, but I want you to surprise me.
Oh, I don't want you to be alone. You might run away from me.
No, I wouldn't do a thing like that.
Oh, if you want some flowers, you got to come in the shop with me.
All right, Walter. I'll go with you.
Good evening. What can I do for you?
What kind of flowers do you want, Carol?
Roses. Oh, yes, roses.
Roses are very nice.
A dozen?
Yes.
Well, I'll have them for you.
Oh, miss.
Yes?
Miss, I have to make a phone call. I wonder if I could...
Well, there's a pay booth over there behind the fern.
Oh, thank you. I'll just be a minute, Walter.
But, Carol,
you wait here for the flowers. I'll be right back.
Help you?
Operator, get me the police.
One moment, please.
Sergeant Pierce, 12th Precinct.
Well, listen to me carefully. I don't have much time. My name is Carol Finley, and the man who murdered that woman in Washington Park last night is with me.
Where are you?
In Kramer's florist shop on 6th Street, but we're leaving here in a minute. He's taking me to dinner at the Black Grotto down the block.
Black Grotto, I got you.
Please, hurry.
Don't worry, we'll get there in no time.
Oh, you have the flowers, Walter. Oh, they're very pretty.
Who did you call, Carol?
Why, I called Mom.
You talked to Mrs. Finley?
Yes, I just wanted to let her know where I'd be so that she wouldn't worry.
You talked to her?
Yes, I just told her that I did. Come on, Walter, I'm hungry.
All right, Carol. Wait, Carol, I'll call a taxi.
We're just going to the Black Grotto. We don't need a taxi. It's just down the street there.
I changed my mind, Carol. We're not going to the Black Grotto. I'm taking you to a nicer place. Much nicer.
Walter, why did you take me out here?
Oh, there's something in this cemetery I want to show you.
Walter, please, let's go back to town.
We won't be long. It's right here. This is what I wanted to show you.
It's an empty grave.
Yes, Carol. And we have the flowers to put on it.
But no one's in there. It's empty.
You'll be there, Carol.
Walter?
It's for you.
Oh, you don't want to hurt me, Walter. I'm your friend, remember?
No, you're bad. You're like all the rest of them. I thought you were nice, but you're not.
Don't you remember? I tried to help you.
You didn't call Mrs. Finley from the flower shop?
Yes, I did, Walter. I spoke to Mom.
That's not the truth. You couldn't talk to her. Mrs. Finley is dead.
She's what?
I killed her. She was going to tell the police about me. I put my hands around her neck and I squeezed and... She was dead.
I
put her in the cellar. Now I've got to kill you.
No, Walter, wait. If you do anything to me, there won't be anybody left to help you find Lola.
Lola?
Yes.
Lola?
Lee, yes, Walter, I can help you find Lola. I think I know where she's hiding.
Lola's dead.
No.
She laughed. She laughed at me. She said I was crazy, a big crazy fool. That's what she said. I thought she was my friend, but she wasn't. She was mean. She laughed at me. She was mean like all the rest. They all laughed at me.
I wouldn't laugh at you, Walter. I wouldn't.
I hate it when people laugh at me. I want to hurt them just like I want to hurt you, because you're laughing at me now.
Stop laughing. I'm not.
You are.
No, please, don't. Let's go,
stop
please.
Stop laughing. Stop laughing.
Walter,
at
don't.
Me. If you stopped laughing, don't. I wouldn't have to hurt you. But you won't stop. You
don't.
Keep on. You. Lola. Lola, make them stop. Lola, please make them stop. They're hurting me.
You all right, miss?
Yes, officer. I'm all right.
That was a close call you had. You didn't turn up at the Black Grotto. I checked with the florist. She saw him take you into a cab outside her shop. Lucky thing I got out here in time.
Yes.
He sure was a big guy, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. A big guy who didn't want people to laugh at him.
Well, that closes the lid on tonight's little coffin of curious characters. And Walter certainly proved a point. The bigger they are, the harder they fall into a grave. Say, Carol certainly had a narrow escape, didn't she? The poor girl almost died, laughing. You know, that's the trouble with most people. No sense of humor. Some of them just can't take a choke. All right, so my gags leave you morbid. You didn't want to sleep tonight anyway. Oh, did you? Good night. Pleasant dreams.
Inner Sanctum was heard in the United States over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, and has been rebroadcast for servicemen and women overseas. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
That was freaky, and the big guy was one messed up dude. I hope he found his Lola in death, because this guy has horror sequel written all over him. The Inner Sanctum was one of the most iconic and classic radio series ever. It survived the test of time and is maybe even more popular now than it was back in the 40s and 50s. The program aired from 1941 to 1952 and was created by producer Hyman Brown, one of the very best at the horror genre. In all, 526 episodes were broadcast, and only those that were rebroadcast on the Armed Forces Radio survive today, about 200 in total. I highly recommend this series, and you can find the bulk of them on the Internet Archive free of charge. By the way, a series of 6 low-budget Universal horror movies were made starring Lon Chaney Jr. They were produced in the 1940s under the Inner Sanctum name. Raymond, the sardonic opening host, is a talking head in a crystal ball. How about that? The date is August 25th, 1944, and this is A Moment in Time. What you're about to hear is what really happened as captured by the microphones that were there that day. The liberation of Paris was a military battle that took place during World War II from August 19, 1944, until the German garrison surrendered the French capital some 6 days later. What you're about to hear was reported by Richard Wessel of the BBC.
Here is the news, read by Richard Wessel. Paris has been liberated. A communique just received from General Koenig announces that it has been liberated by French forces of the interior.
Marvelous sights I've ever seen coming down the boulevard into the heart of Paris. Everywhere we went, people came running out of their houses, out of the shops, shaking hands with us. Children were held up to us to be kissed, and they clung around our necks. People were giving us flowers, tomatoes, everything. It's been the most marvelous procession I've ever seen. Here they are, they're just mad with joy. Just listen to these crowds. Generals now turn to face the square and this huge crowd of Parisians is being presented to people. It's being received. It's being received. Even while the general is marching into the cathedral.
Mayhem broke loose and sniper shots were fired at General Charles de Gaulle. This next recording was 24 hours and by the same reporter.
Well, that was one of the most dramatic scenes I've ever seen. Just as General de Gaulle was about to enter the Cathedral of Notre Dame, firing started all over the place. I'm afraid we couldn't get you the noise of that firing because I was overwhelmed by a rush of people who were trying to seek shelter and my cable parted from my microphone. But I fell just near General de Gaulle, and I managed to pick myself up. General de Gaulle was trying to control the crowds rushing into the cathedral. He walked straight ahead into what appeared to me to be a hail of fire from somewhere inside the cathedral, somewhere from the galleries up near the vaulted roof. But he went straight ahead without hesitation, his shoulders flung back, and walked right down the central aisle, even while the bullets were pouring around him.
And there you have another moment in time. Well, that's it for this week. I want to thank Christian Peterson, Irvin Peterson, not related, Derek Guzman, and Wendell Herrera for your contributions. Thanks, guys. If you want to follow the podcast or the blog, just head to ronsamazingstories.com. There, you'll find everything you need. We are on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and many other services. Please leave reviews and feedback about the show. It really does help us to grow. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories.
All of the vintage audio used in the podcast is believed to be in the public domain. Ron's Amazing Stories does not own the rights to any of the old-time radio used here. If you hold the rights to any of the shows played, please contact us immediately at ronsamazingstories.com.